Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." What do we sense when we hear this reading? We know that the words attributed to Jesus in the scriptures are the result of centuries of textual analysis built on vast historical research. Sometimes his words take the form of narrative and paradoxical teachings of the kingdom and how to bring it about. Sometimes they are confrontations with hypocritical religious leaders. Sometimes prayers to the Father. Putting aside the problems of deciphering ancient words and translations, can we consider the use and arrangement of this passage as emotional and very personal? Jesus seems to be speaking with urgency. He knows that the hour is coming when the time for being together will be gone, and feels the very human need to share again with his disciples quickly and directly the truths that he taught them in figures of speech when he had the time. Quote, "I came from the Father. Now I will go back to the Father. I will be gone for what I am calling a little while, and so you will mourn, but the world, those who did not accept him, will be glad. The Father loves you and will take care of you because you have loved me and you believe in me. You will eventually be filled with great joy." This was the message that the disciples were to tell the world, and it's our message. But there's something else here. Maybe for some, it's easier to think of Jesus as the Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, which he is. But maybe it's easier to think of him that way than as truly human. Maybe we are more comfortable with a somewhat remote divinity to whom we say words dutifully and remember on Sundays than with a human person who can feel concern for his loved ones, who can even worry about them and about whether his friendship prepared them well for their mission. Maybe we need to listen to the tone of voice of this Jesus, the certainly divine and also very human friend of the disciples and of all of us. It is often said that Jesus experienced everything that we experience except sin. Do we include friendship in that experience? And do we recognize our friendship with Jesus and our friendships inspired by Jesus as the life-giving center of our own mission?